Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Today, I've entitled this message in our final sermon in our series, Acres of Diamonds, Diamonds That Last Forever. Diamonds That Last Forever. And so the title, Acres of Diamonds, if you haven't been here, that title came from a book that came from a lecture that came from a story. And that story was that of a gentleman, a farmer, a gentleman in Africa who owned a farm, a prosperous farm. Ali Afred was his name. And he was content. He was prosperous. He had a beautiful family until one day he heard about diamonds and how if you had just a few diamonds, you could have many farms. And that night he went to bed impoverished because now he realized what he didn't have. He forgot what he had. He forgot what he had. And all he could think about was what he didn't have. And he sold his farm, put his family up, and he searched through Africa, then to India, Palestine, Europe, only to find himself bankrupt, writing a letter to his family in total desperation and depression that he'd spent all the money, found nothing, and then he threw himself into a river and died. Tragic story. But what's even more tragic is the gentleman who bought the farm. He one day took a stone that had a little glisten in it, and he put it over the mantle in his house. And one day, one of the diamond miners in the area, because there were diamond mines in the area of the farm, he was in this new owner's house. And he walked over to the mantle, and he said, "Where did you find this?" And he took it, and he took his knife out, and he carved it a little bit. He said, "This is the largest diamond I have ever seen." He said, "What? That's not a diamond?" He said, "Yes, it is." He goes, "I've got those things all over my farm. I'm constantly kicking them out of the way of my plow." That led to the largest diamond mine, most prosperous diamond mine ever found. What an incredible and tragic story of the man who did not recognize that he had acres of diamonds. And so in week one, we talked about how God, open our eyes to the treasure that you are. The greatest thing that could ever happen in any of our lives is that our eyes were open to the pearl of great price, right? That our eyes were open, that our ears somehow heard the message and the story of Jesus, how he came 2,000 years ago and he lived a life that we were all supposed to live, but we couldn't. And then he died the death that we all deserve to die so that we wouldn't have to. And our eyes were open to Jesus, the greatest acres of diamonds, the greatest treasure. And we were willing to give our lives up for that treasure. Amen? And then we became treasure boxes. He put that treasure inside of us. And last week, Pastor Israel did an amazing job. If you didn't listen to it, you need to listen to it. And you need to listen to it again if you have. Talked about how there are diamonds amongst us. Your spouse, your children, your extended family, your church family are full of acres of diamonds. And yet so often the devil tries to deceive us and not let us see the treasures that we have in our lives. Amen? And so today, what I'd like to do is we have talked about how these acres of diamonds are within us. These acres of diamonds are around us or among us. I want to talk today how there's acres of diamonds all around us. And how God wants us to be diamond miners. He wants us to be diamond miners. He wants us to discover diamonds, not kick the stones and those things that don't appear to be diamonds out of our path, but actually cherish them and help others see the treasure that they are, because they're a treasure. Why are they a treasure? Because God decided that they were a treasure. How do we know that? Because God was willing to pay at any price. There was no price he wasn't willing to pay for these acres of diamonds throughout the earth. For he so loved the world that he gave it all. And so my hope is today that God would open our eyes and our ears and give us a heart of love and compassion to see the acres of diamonds. Not just walk by those diamonds in our lives, but actually recognize those and treat people like diamonds. Everyone we encounter, that we would treat them like a diamond that they are. Because that's when life gets really exciting and really rich. We are rich, church. We're rich, and we live in a rich world full of diamonds waiting to be discovered. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 2. That's where we'll begin in the scripture. John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, 2 days after there was a wedding in the town of Canaan in Galilee, Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his followers were also invited to the wedding. When all of the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus answered, "Dear woman, why come to me? My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." In that place, there were 6 stone water jars, and the Jews used in their washing ceremony. Each jar held about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," so that they filled the jars to the top. Then he said to them, "Now take some out and give it to the master of the feast." So they took the water to the master, and when he tasted it, the water had become wine. He did not know where the wine had come from, but the servants who had brought the water knew. The master of the wedding called the bridegroom and said to him, "People always serve the best wine first. Later, after the guests have had been drinking a while, they serve the cheaper wine. But you have saved the best wine till now." In Canaan of Galilee, Jesus did his first miracle. There he showed his glory, and his followers believed in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have this story and that you've given us the word of God full of stories of how to live, full of stories that show us how loved we are and that we have a purpose. Today, Holy Spirit, open our eyes and our ears again to God speaking to us. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way of God's word and let God's word do the work in us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay, so this is the first miracle recorded in the Gospel of John. And the story tells us that Jesus is like, "It's not yet my moment, my time." What was amazing, it didn't stop him from loving his mom. Now, this was probably a family wedding. This was probably a wedding that his family was a part of putting together and serving at. And so there would have been great shame that would have come upon his family and his mom if they had run out of wine, if they had run out of grape juice. Right? It would have been a terrible situation. And so Mary says, just do whatever Jesus says. He'll make it right. Jesus, Mary casted her cares upon Jesus. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful miracle to just show the heart of God, that the smallest things matter to God. Now, when we give our cares to God, it doesn't always work out exactly the way we thought it should or wanted it to. But you can know this for sure, that He cares. And that He can work all things out for good. That God can make every situation in your life that you give to Him work out for good. Your good and the good of others. This is a guarantee. But the part I want to just take a moment and hope that maybe you can see is that Jesus cares. He cares about the embarrassment that might come upon His family. He cares about people not having needs met or desires met. He's not against that. He's not against having a good time. Hallelujah. He's at a wedding, and the introduction in His ministry begins at a celebration. And that's a whole nother message that I'd love to preach, but not today. But He cares. And what did He acknowledge in doing this miracle? Many things, but one thing I want to point out. He recognized that all of those people were diamonds, especially His mom. Especially His mom. Mom, it's not my... Okay. Here we go. It begins. My ministry begins today. And the result was, they believed. You know, if I look back at the amazing opportunities that God has given me to lead people to Jesus, most of those came as a result of me first expressing how much I loved them and cared about them and showed it in a very practical way. Even in my preaching, that I would pray for people that I haven't even met in a way that is heartfelt. Now, I can't manufacture that love. I love you because God loves you. If God didn't love you, I probably wouldn't. Okay? Can I just get real? And here's the deal. You don't want me to love you because I love you. You want me to love you because God loves you. Because my love is fickle. My love is not faithful or secure. But His love is. Amen? So you want me to love you, and you want me to be committed to you because God's committed to you. And because God loves you. And because God has put His love in my heart for you. And this is how God can put His love in my heart for a people and a nation I've never been to, Costa Rica. And because of that imparting of His love, and then going and just loving people into the kingdom of God. Look, I am convinced, okay? And maybe I'm thinking too highly of myself, but here's the deal. It's not about me. I believe if you're around me long enough, you're gonna get saved. That you, the longer you're around me, the less chance you have of not receiving Jesus. Okay? And it's not because I'm all that great. It's because Jesus is all that great. And when you're hanging out with me, you're hanging out with Jesus. Because everywhere I go, I bring Jesus. Because when you bring Jesus to the party is real and alive and leaves no sorrows to it. No sorrows are added to it. When God blesses you, when God pours out His blessing in your life, man, there's no sorrows added to it. But you've been to some parties. And after those parties, there were many sorrows added unto them, weren't they, Josh? Weren't they, Cruz? But not Jesus' parties. So, do you see the diamond, Jesus? Do you see the diamond within you? Do you see the diamonds among you? And do you see the diamonds all around? There's a story of a young girl named Linda. Linda had a friend she was out riding her bike with all day, and she was supposed to be home at 5 o'clock for dinner. That was the routine. And she wasn't home at 5. She got home at 5:30, and Mom wasn't very happy about that. She was supposed to be home at 5 for dinner. But Linda said, "I'm sorry, Mom, but my friend needed me. Her bike broke down. Her bike broke down." And Mom's like, "That's ridiculous. Linda, what do you know about fixing a bike? How could you help your friend with that bike?" And she said, "Mom, I cried with my friend about her broken bike. She needed me." She couldn't fix the bike, but she did what she could do. See, she recognized that her friend was a diamond. And Linda shined as a diamond for her friend. Do you recognize the diamonds all around you? The opportunities you have that we have every single day? Or do you see them as stones that you just got to get out of your way? But these are diamonds. See, we have a saying around here at Bethel, we eat problems for lunch. See, those things that others see as problems, burdens, what if our eyes were turned into, these are potential diamonds. Yes. And God wants to use me to be a diamond in this diamond in the rough's life right now. Pastor Walter, one of our pastors of our Messianic congregation, on Saturdays, he shared this story with me this week, and he said this is a well-known story in Denver, came out of the VA hospital, and it was about two gentlemen that were in very critical condition, both had pneumonia and were being treated, and they were both roommates in a hospital, and there was only one window in the hospital, and that one of the patients, his bed was in front of the window, and the other patient was looking at a wall. And they couldn't get out of bed. They were that sick. And the nurses would come in and help the patient that was in front of the window occasionally. And so they propped him up, and he could see out the window. And he would share what he saw with his roommate. He shared how he would see that he was looking at the beautiful skies and the Denver skyline and the mountains and the birds and trees, and he had an amazing imagination and description of what he would see with his eyes. And at first the roommate was like, "Oh man, that's awesome. Oh, it's just a little comfort to imagine something else than what he was going through and the pain." But then after a few days, he was like, "Why can't I be in front of the window? Why does he get to be the one who gets to have the bed in front of the window?" And then he fought that off, and he's like, "Oh, that's just being selfish." And but then those feelings came back up, and they overwhelmed him to where he became bitter about, "This isn't fair. Life's not fair. It's not fair that I have to lay here, and he gets to lay over there." And one night in the middle of the night, he heard his roommate struggling to breathe, and the remote fell out of his roommate's hand, and he had the remote, and he could have pushed the button to get the nurses in to attend to his roommate, but he was so envious and bitter that he's sat. He didn't push the button. Time went by. He heard him struggling. And then he no longer heard him struggling. The next morning, the nurses came in and found his roommate dead. Took him out of the room, and after some time, he asked the nurse, "Hey, is there any way I can be moved in front of the window?" The nurse said, "Well, for sure, absolutely." And they rolled him over in front of the window, and they propped him up, and he looked out the window. And what did he see? Not a skyline, not mountains, not birds or trees, just a brick wall. See, his roommate was a diamond. He was a diamond with an amazing imagination. And he made up what he saw. He made up, he knew it was out there. But he shared his imagination, that gift that he had with his roommate. You know, the Bible says if you don't recognize what you have in your life, even what you have, you will lose. You have to settle this. At the very youngest age, I taught my kids, life is not fair. And you should be happy about that. Because you don't deserve a mom like you have. You don't deserve a dad like you have. And more than that, you don't deserve what Jesus has done for you. See, if life was fair, we'd all be going someplace none of us wants to go. But it's not, because God is loving and just. Diamonds. Man. Baby, I hope you don't get mad at me. But we had the most amazing time in Costa Rica. God moved and used us powerfully as a team ministering, and we just had a blast. And then we're flying back in our last stretch in, and we have this moment where I felt like my wife didn't honor me in a way that she should have. And this is very humbling, and I just go, it hurt me. It hurt me. It wasn't really that big a deal, but I made it a big deal. And it led to the next few hours of the flight, like cold. And then I struggled. It was like, it hurt me more. And then I stopped seeing the treasure my wife was. Now, praise the Lord, I don't think I went to bed angry, but I was hurt. And it's amazing. Look, life brings hurts. And you can acknowledge those hurts, and you can even mourn those hurts. You should. And what I didn't do is I didn't mourn it with God. I didn't go to God and lament how my feelings got hurt. I mean, I'll just be real, because I'm prideful. Like, I'm thinking, I feel like a wuss that I got hurt. Okay, can I just, man, you know, you're with me, right? I mean, it's like the fact that I'm hurt because my wife didn't respect me enough. Okay, like, how pathetic is that? It's pathetic, but you know it's real. We've all been hurt. And my pride got to me. I don't want to be hurt. Let some beautiful, petite, soft, kind woman hurt me. But I got my feelings hurt. And that hurt, because I didn't lament it and didn't process it right, led to me stop seeing what a treasure. Even if it was for 10 minutes, it's too long. But it was hours, and even until last night. But praise God, my wife was relentless. She pursued me. She loved me. And she chose not to take it personal. And then I realized, dang, I probably need some healing somewhere in my life. Because that shouldn't have been that big a deal. Now I share that because I think somebody needs to hear that. And I share it because Jesus gets the glory. He's not done with me. I mean, 9 powerful days of being used by God. And one moment of my wife not respecting me enough in the tone of her voice shipwrecks this. I'm a man of God. I'm anointed. And yet, I'm a jar of clay that has moments of weakness and still needs healing and growth in my life. The story I want to close with is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you, truly, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Church, there are acres of diamonds all around us. And we have been commissioned to be diamond miners. Are you mining for diamonds? Have your eyes been open to the treasures all around you? I know, man, I get distracted, I get busy and just run through things and be like, oh, that's just an obstacle to the things I gotta do today. But did Jesus ever live like that? Like, Jesus had a plan. Do you understand? You having a day planner, that's a good thing. You having a schedule, that's a good thing. But Jesus never let his schedule stop him from the diamonds that he ran into. Church, let's not miss all the opportunities we have that God gives us to be diamond miners, to recognize the diamonds in our lives, because it's treasure. Do you understand? People are treasure. People are what value. what should be valued the most. It's what has eternal value, relationship, people. And yes, it's worth fighting for, okay? It's worth you getting over your hurtness, okay? Your whatever it is, anything that's blocked relationship, it's a big deal. You know, so much so that God said this, get right with your spouse, husbands, or I won't hear your prayers. Do you need any other motivation to humble yourself, men, than God will not hear your prayers? He will not answer your prayers when you are not in relationship, right relationship with your wife. That's serious, because it's serious to God. When you're offering a gift to him and you recognize somebody else has issue with you, you don't even have issue with the other person. They have issue with you. And guess what God says? Put that gift aside. We'll get to that. But first, go and be reconciled. Do everything you can. Why? Because people are diamonds. Relationship is valuable. And this is what the devil comes to do, is to kill, steal, and destroy. But when you recognize this is a diamond, and it's a diamond in a lot of rough right now, but it's a diamond in here, and I'm not going to discard it. I'm not going to just discard it. Relationships are not disposable. Like, let me just move on. No, you've just given up the treasure. And it takes time to get to the treasure. You every year, every conflict, you're chiseling more of the treasure. And you can't let just something happen and go, I'm just going to disregard it. Why? Because it takes time to get to treasure. You can't get to real, real deep treasure and valuable treasure in just a couple days. Takes time. I got 24 years coming up. Or now, yes, 24, right? 24 years, okay? Of treasure digging. I can't walk away from that. You can't get all that back. So would you close your eyes for just a moment as we close? Would you put your hand on your heart? What is your heart saying? What is your heart beating today? Is it full of his love? From this heart will flow rivers of living water. Water can expose. Water can clean the diamonds. In your own heart and in the hearts of others. Do you have a heart for people? Because if you have Jesus's heart, you have a heart for people. And if you don't have a heart for people today, you can get a heart from Jesus to do it. He's really good at heart surgery, heart transplants, making a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. That's what he came to do. That was the promise. We have to guard our hearts after he gives us a heart of flesh. We have to have it cleansed. We have to have his love flow through it to heal it. Now, would you open your eyes and look at your hands? Whose hands are these? Are they Jesus' hands? Are these hands for his work and his kingdom? When you look down at your feet, are they beautiful? Are they Jesus' feet? Does he have access to your feet to tell you where to go? When to go, when to stay, when to go right, when to go left? Who do you belong to? Are you a treasure box? Do you recognize the acres of diamonds inside of you? Do you recognize the acres of diamonds among you? Do you recognize the acres of diamonds all around you? If you'd say, Pastor Mike, I want Jesus' heart. I want to give my hands and my feet to Jesus today. Would you lift up your hands? Because I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us to have his heart, have his love, and surrender our lives, our hands and our feet to him. God, you said in your word, you look throughout the whole earth whose hearts belong to you, Lord. And these hands, Lord, recognize these hands express that our hearts belong to you, God. And we're asking that you'd show yourself strong on our behalf, that we may make your name famous, Jesus, that we may make you famous. Lord, you get all the honor. You get all the glory. God, fall upon us, your body, your people today. Lord, forgive us for kicking stones in our lives, for kicking diamonds away from our lives, not recognizing how precious and valuable these people are and these situations are. God, forgive us. But Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear today. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your power. God, that we would be people that recognize we're diamonds. And Lord, that we're diamond miners, Lord God, to bring the kingdom of God and your love to a hurting, lost world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.